Good evening again, everybody. I'm back. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Alrighty. So, we are back in Judges, chapter 2 this time. Judges chapter 2. Chapter dose. Felt, and that can be a good thing, can be a bad thing, but it was helpful. All the prayers were helpful, and like I said last week, the two goals that I had, for one goal for myself was just to teach. It was much easier for me to just explain this, the Bible and what's going on. And I definitely felt more comfortable doing that. So we're going to do it again, try it that way again, and hopefully we can learn a few other things. Oh, I'm going to turn my volume off here. Don't have a lot of things going off my notes. And if you recall last week, again, those two goals, one of them was for me just to teach. The other one, we're just going to go through the chapter and take the section. In those sections, we're going to try to find some principles we can apply to our life, and that'll be it. We'll conclude the service that way, and then we'll take some prayer requests right after that. And so I'm thinking it may be a little short tonight. So I'll try to make it quick, but I have another goal for us tonight. Really, well, not for all of us, really for me. I definitely want to improve my speaking ability, so I want to not use as many uhs and ums, not use as many filler words. Yeah, that's the thing. So that was going to be my next comment, is if I'm quiet for a long period of time, either I fell asleep or I'm trying to think. So we will see how it goes. To Judges chapter 2. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've given again, Lord. And I do pray that you would... I do ask that you'd give us something from your word tonight. And again, thank you for this church, Lord. And I pray that we could all learn something tonight and keep us safe throughout the rest of this week as we head home after this service. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Judges chapter 2. So the first section we have is verses 1 through 5. Judges chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And an angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord." So, a few things before we get to our principle. In this section, in verse 1, we see what could possibly be, what is referred to as a, if I'm correct on this, a Christophany. And that is when Christ or God shows up as a man or as an angel, we don't necessarily know if it's a man, but we know that it says an angel. Anyways, so we have a possible Christophany or theophany. And this is argued by many of people, surprisingly. But what I want to do is, let's just take the scriptures and let's see what's being said here, so we can come to an accurate conclusion. So it says, "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you." Now, based off that verse, this being is associating himself with the fathers of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and reminding them that this being brought them out of Egypt. Now, we know Moses, of course, was the figure, the human figure, that brought them out of Egypt, but who was the person behind the scenes? I hear crickets. Do we know? It was God. God was the person behind the scenes directing all the stuff. But so the conclusion that we can make here, and that I can make, that I see, is that this is in fact God that came down in the form of an angel, in the form of a man. We can argue that, but it's not a hill to die on, and it's not necessary to argue that. We just know that this is an instance where God comes down in the form of a being and talks to the Israelites. So the principle that I see here is, I want to keep it simple tonight. So the principle that I see here is in verse 5, it says, verse 5, "And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord." As we read, this principle will make a little more sense. But the principle that I see here is that even though there is an apostle or a sacrifice, it doesn't remove the consequences of one's action. So, about something that you did of that action. Very simple. We can take just a bully in high school, for instance, to someone across the face, and then he gets into the principal's office and he gets in trouble. The principal tells him to apologize. Teddy is okay after your apology, but then there's still consequences. The apology going to the consequences. So, just name the bully Fred. He may be the school for a certain period of time. He may just be removed from the school. But that is what I see. Even though there is an apology or a sacrifice, it doesn't mean that the consequences of that action will be removed. So let's continue. Verse 6, our next section is verse 6 through 10 of chapter 2. It says, "And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." Now, it may be a little bit confusing, but it's not. If you break it down, it's not too confusing. There's three or four records of Joshua. You have one in Joshua 24. You have one in Judges chapter 1. You have one here in Judges 2. So that makes three. And this record of his death is Joshua 24. So that's what it is. It's not that confusing. It caught me off guard. Like, why are we in chapter 2 and explaining Joshua's death and all this? But it doesn't really matter that it's here in chapter 2. Anyways, so there are two learn, and that I see here in this section of verse 6 through verse 10. One is a very common principle that we all hear in from the book of Judges, and that principle is that we need to pass on to the next generation what we learn from the Bible. And definitely should be taught. I don't think that is what the that there is to learn. I think the principle here is that without an example to follow and point us to God, then the knowledge of God is commonly forgotten. I think that is the principle that we can learn here. Without an example or a leader to follow, the knowledge of God is commonly forgotten. And I believe that's one of the reasons Jesus came. If you think about it, we have Jesus to follow. He is an example. He is the leader of Christianity. And without him, we wouldn't have a lot to follow. So that is what I learned here, is that without that leader or that example to point us to God, then God is forgotten in society. The next section here, verse 11 through 15, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies." Excuse me. "Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed." There are two possibilities for a principle that I've learned in this section. The first one is the first one is actually very simple, and which is a good thing for tonight. But the first one is God punishes the disobedient. That is the main principle. And I think we all know that. So learn there. Huh? You didn't know that? Oh, man. Well, you learned something new tonight. It's good. Good. But the second principle that I see here is that God will allow you to become a slave to sin. Even though it's commonly thought that because you're a Christian, it's commonly thought that because you're a Christian, you're kind of like immune to sin almost. Like, you can never sin because saved and the Holy Spirit resides in me. That really isn't the case. Paul even talks about this. But I really do think that even though we are saved, God will still allow you to become a slave to sin. And I also think, I don't know why my mind is thinking this, so ignore that comment. So, I know it is commonly thought that if people are constantly sinning, then they aren't saved, which is a good thing to question. If people are constantly sinning, then there is an absence of spirituality there. But I also think that there are people who are saved and just are a slave to sin. Like they got saved, but they got caught up in the wrong stuff, and God just let them go down that road. So what do we learn? We're not immune to sin. We're humans, not free will. We're not immune to it. Verses 16 through 23 is the final section, and I didn't have anything really that we could learn from this section, because this portion of Scripture here just lays out the rest of the book of Judges. It's going to outline for us what it is going to be like throughout the rest of the book. And so it's hard to really pull a principle from that if it's just outlining something. So we will read it, and I'll do my best to explain it so the book of Judges can be better understood, and then we'll wrap it up. Verse 16 says, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not." And prove just means to see. In layman's terms, it's just an experiment almost. "Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither deliver he them into the hand of Joshua." So, like I said, there's not really a principle we can pull out of this section here, but the rest of the book is literally just, you have a judge. That judge brings the children out from being spoiled by a certain inhabitant of the land. That is the next generation is even worse. And then you have another judge, does the same thing as the last judge. That judge dies. and then the next generation is just worse. And it continues down that line. And so that is the book of Judges. That is how it is outlined. That is, and then you have, off the top of, I think you have like 11, 10 or 11 judges. So before you get to Saul, you have about 10 or 11 judges. And that is the rest of the book. So the principles that we've gotten out of this are that in our first section, 1 through 5, was that apology, even though there's an apology or a sacrifice, the consequences are not removed. The next one, in verses 6 through 10, was the common one, is that we need to teach the Bible to the next generation so that they can follow in the footsteps of the Lord. And while that is true, I think there is another principle that we can learn, is that without a leader or an example to follow, that the knowledge of God or God in general is commonly forgotten. And then the last one was God will allow you to become a slave to sin. And so that's all I have for tonight. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Heavenly Father,